Well, very good to see you all this evening. Thank you so much for coming. It's a great time to get in the spirit mood or the Christmas spirit with you all. So great to see you. I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Some of you may have heard this verse before, some of you may have not. Either way, whether you've heard it many times or hearing it for the first time, I invite you to hear these words afresh as I read them. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Though we be empty-handed, brothers and sisters, though we be empty-handed, a gift has been given to us. Indeed, a son has been given, even though in our humanity we don't have anything to bring to a good and holy God. A gift has been given, and indeed a son has been given to us. That's good news. And during the Christmas time, I'm sure you all are very familiar with the exchanging of gifts. We are all very familiar with giving and receiving gifts. Kiddos, I don't know if you like receiving gifts or giving gifts better, I don't know, but I'm sure giving and receiving is this fun time of Christmas. We all enjoy that and we all get that. It's a thing we celebrate during Christmas time. We come together as family and friends and we have an exchange of gifts oftentimes. And tonight, what I want to consider with you for a few moments is this. We consider the greatest gift that could ever have been given, the greatest gift that could have ever been given to us, that is Jesus Christ. That is the Son of God. That is the God-man, fully God, fully human. Remember that God is three persons in one. We as Christians believe that. It's called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. And we believe that he came to us at Christmas time as a baby. It is a great gift. It is called the gospel. See, we have this problem called sin in our hearts. This problem of rebellion against a good and holy God. It's why when you look out into the world that you see evil and darkness. And what we see here tonight is this. We see tonight that even though we celebrate this baby boy coming to us, even though we celebrate this great gift of salvation that's to us, we see that we are undeserving of the gift and we can never pay it back. We are undeserving of the gift and we can never pay it back. And even to go a step further, brothers and sisters, even though we're not deserving of the gift and can never pay it back, we find that we are actually in rebellion with a good and holy God. All of us. So before I was a pastor, I used to work in residential treatment for children and youth over in Sioux Falls, the second most intensive facility in the state of South Dakota. And I remember they were good kiddos, a lot of good kiddos there, but because of trauma in the past or because of hurt in the past, a lot of rebellion was present. I was their caretaker. I wanted to provide the care that I could, just the best that I could. And sometimes I was human and I didn't do too well, but I wanted to provide the best care possible to these kids. And there was rebellion. There was kicking, screaming, biting, spitting, yelling, and all of that. That's how we are with a good and holy God, whether we realize it or not. See, in this text, before it's written, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. It's called the Nation of Israel. It's hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born. And here's what's going on here. Even though a gift has been given, there's some darkness, some bad things going on in Israel. So Israel was God's chosen people. That was God's nation that he was with and dwelt with. And here's what's going on in verse 19 of chapter 8. It says, and when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? And so a necromancer is someone who tries to consult with the dead. So get this. They are among a good God. They are among a good authority. They're among a holy God. They see his works. They see his goodness among them. And what do? They get upset with God. They revile against him. The text says they say all kinds of bad things and they blame their problems on God. And they even go so far, the people of Israel, some of them, to consult with the dead, even if you could do that. But they try to do that instead of going to the God, that good Father, which made them and made us sitting here today. And so as they have rebelled, so as they have consulted other things, so as they had a rebellious and a hard heart towards God, we have the same. We have the same. I have the same. It's that problem called sin in our hearts. It's why we do evil and bad things. God created a good world, but brokenness came during the fall, the very beginning when Adam and Eve, the first humans, chose to rebel against him. And ever since, we've had brokenness and brokenness upon brokenness and sin in the world. And we find ourselves in a rebelling with a good and holy God. Wow. While God could have withheld the gift of his Son, while he could have withheld it from us, he chose to give out of his good pleasure to us. That's why we celebrate his Christmas. That's why we come and sing Joy to the World. It's why we come sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Because he has chosen to show his love to us, even in our rebellion. We find that even when God could have withheld the gift of his Son, he gave his best for us so we could have hope, brothers and sisters. Hope. Restoration from our sin. Restoration from our brokenness. I want to tell you about this gift this Christmas. I want to talk to you about two things about the gift of God's Son. Though the gift is undeserved, it can be received with joy today. Whether you call yourselves a Christian or call yourselves churched or maybe new to the faith, whether you're listening or here, it can be received with joy. It's undeserved. No one deserves it. We're all in this problem called sin. We're all in this problem called rebellion, but it can be received with joy. And number two, we see that though the gift is unprecedented, it can be received by grace through faith. Think of a time when you've received a gift that you didn't think you deserved. Maybe you were in a pinch. Maybe you needed money when you were in a rough part. Maybe you were surprised with this gift that you didn't really feel like you deserved too much. And maybe you get this gift and you're pleased with this gift, whether it's monetary assistance or it's just a good material gift that you really, really needed. And maybe you're considering that for that moment. And then you start to realize that, well, I can't really pay this back. I'm not into the position to pay this person back for how they gave me. I'm not in the position to pay back this assistance this person gave me. I know I've been in that situation before, where I either received a material gift or money when I really needed it, and feeling in that place, well, this is great, I'm overjoyed to receive it, and there's a sense I can't pay it back, and there's also the sense that, man, I don't know if I deserve it. I haven't really been making the mark. How do I deserve a gift like this? Though we didn't deserve anything from God now, because remember, we were in rebellion with him, all of us. All of us. I was in rebellion with God. And in my flesh, apart from Christ, I'm in rebellion towards God. I'm like those Israelites that consult other things. I look to God and I want his good stuff, but I don't want God. I just want my own thing and I want to craft my life the way I want to craft it. Even though we are in our rebellion, wow, even though we didn't deserve anything from God, he freely gave us his Son, even though it cost him everything. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. Though we didn't deserve anything from God, it says, to us a son is given. And it cost him everything. He didn't cease to be God when Jesus came. He didn't cease to be God when Jesus died. But wow, did it cost him. It was a good father that was willing to give his only son. It was a good God that was willing to come to our earth and dwell among us as a man. He could have stayed up in heaven and done this plan of salvation in another way, but he decided to dwell among us. He freely gave of himself. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. That's the gift. gift that's available to all of us this evening. Though we didn't deserve anything from God, he not only gave, but he gave his very best. He gave his very best in sending that son, Jesus Christ. He gave his very best when he grew up to be a man like myself or a person like yourself. He gave his very best when he perfectly fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, those laws that we couldn't carry out on our own in our own flesh. He gave his very best when he went to the cross, when he was crucified. He gave his very best when he died. He gave his very best when he took on our punishment for the sin that we had committed. And he gave his very best when he rose again. Wow. This gift that he gave, it cost him everything. It was so costly, we can't even comprehend how costly it was, how Jesus gave to us. And we can't comprehend just how wonderful this gift is. Because you'll see here, there's four names for Christ. It says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Just think of these words. He gave his very best for us, even though we were in such a rebellion. See, in my humanity with those kids, when they were kicking and screaming and biting me, it was hard for me to give anything of my love to them. And sometimes I would choose not to, but how much more have we done with a good and holy God by our rebellion? And out of his good pleasure, he's like, I am going to give my very best by sending my son Jesus. And he's fully God, fully man. He's the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is Christ he's talking about here. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. He talks about his deity. He talks about, and what I mean by deity is that he is fully God. And also talks about his humanity. See, this Prince of Peace here, Prince in the Hebrew, that only refers to a man. So make no doubt about it. He is fully God and fully human. And he gave his very best by doing that. He came as fully God so he could have the power to accomplish our salvation. So apart from him in our rebellion, we can't be with a good and holy God. But he gave his very best because he came as fully God, and he came as fully man so he could fulfill that which we could never fulfill. And he was able to offer himself as a sacrifice so that we could be made right with God if we would have faith in the work of Jesus Christ. That's how he gave his very best. Fully God, fully human, he was able to carry out that work. So remember, though the gift is not deserved, it can be received with joy. All of us. Though the gift is unprecedented, it can be received by grace through faith. I don't know if you've heard the word unprecedented much lately, but I sure have. We hear this word a lot these days. The weather events of the past few weeks, the tornadoes, even the weather here. I watched the weathermen and they said this is unprecedented. Or you'll go on the news and you'll hear about this riot or this, that, or the other thing, and they'll say this event was unprecedented. What does that word unprecedented mean? It means that it's never been known or done before. And we look at bad things and we can be so ignorant of the brokenness that we can label it as unprecedented even though it's been around since the beginning of time. We use this word a lot and we throw it around a lot, but really these unprecedented things that exist have been around, and these painful things that exist have been around. But Christ came and did the unprecedented. He came to do which had never been done before. Christ came to do that which had never been done before. I want you to read on here and listen on here in verse 7. He had a plan of saving lost people like no one else would have. He had a plan of redeeming a lost and broken humanity in a way that no one else had. He had a unique plan of salvation that was unprecedented, that had not been known before. See, brokenness and chaos came into the world, and we have our own ways of dealing with brokenness and chaos. We can fight that chaos, and we can fight that brokenness in our own flesh with fire, or we can shrink back, or we can think that it's going to be some sort of ideology or philosophy to fix it. Either way, it refers to pulling up our bootstraps, and we need to try harder and harder and harder, and we need to fight it with force. And Christ came, God had a plan of salvation that is not like any of those things. It's unprecedented. It's never been known before. And it's good news. It's good news. Though peace had never been established in the way of Christ until he came, his rule has been firmly established. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his father. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Of his ruling of peace, there will be no end. Though we did not deserve anything, though justice had never been carried out in the way of Christ, it is carried out through the zeal of God. With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will accomplish this. What do we have here this morning? Here, we have a problem that in our flesh we're rebelling against a good and holy God. In our flesh we have a problem that we cannot live up to the standards of a good and holy God. We in our flesh have this problem that because of that, God is just. It says he has a rule of justice and righteousness. He is supposed to enact that, and there is punishment for the wrong things that we do. There is punishment for the wrong things I do. And the good news of salvation is this. Instead of God fighting force and wiping us all out and punishing all us out, he sent Jesus Christ, born of woman, born under the law, and he was able to perfectly fulfill it. And he was able to go to the cross someday. You can't subtract Christmas from Easter, brothers and sisters. They go together. You can't subtract Christmas from Easter because we remember at Christmas why he came. We remember at Christmas that when he was growing, when he became a man, he had his eyes set on Calvary. He had his eyes set on the cross. He had his eyes set on me and you. He had his eyes set on those who he would save. He had eyes set on the mission of God to seek and save that which was lost. He had the mission to save those who could not follow. And indeed, that means all of us. He eventually goes to the cross. His government increases. And he brings peace by his death. Doesn't that sound backwards? Doesn't really sound like our way of bringing peace. He brings peace by the cross. He brings peace by coming as a human being. And he brings peace to us if we would place our faith and our trust in him and in the work that's been done for us. What amazing reality that we see tonight. Though we be empty-handed, though we be in rebellion with a good and holy God, and though we don't deserve the gift of his son Jesus and what all that means for us and the rule that he brings, it can be yours and it can be mine by grace through faith. We can receive the great gift of Christ. And the question is now, what are you going to do with this gift? It's available to me and it's available to all of you. And the gospel, what I mean by gospel, it means good news for sinners and broken people. The gospel is really quite simple. I say this a lot in messages, but it's by grace through faith. Grace means a deserving favor for rebellious people. And faith means that we're putting our trust in Jesus Christ. We're putting our belief and we're saying we're giving up our control on life. We're just going to submit ourselves wholly and completely to you. And we're going to trust you wholly and completely to you for our salvation of our souls and for our lives. Will you receive it this Christmas? It's available to you today. And those are the instructions. And how will you receive it? How will you receive it? Remember that illustration I shared of myself receiving monetary assistance when I didn't feel like I deserved it, and I really wanted to pay it back. Jesus paid it all. Though we're not deserving of it, though I'm not deserving of it, Jesus has it fully taken care of. He's a good God that doesn't deserve payment back from us, though he could have. And that payment, apart from faith, would be separation from him in eternity in hell. If we have our faith in him and this Christmas message and the message of the cross that I'm talking about here, we are made right with him forever. He has paid the price forever on the cross so that we would not need to be punished, but we could live with him forever and ever, and the wages of death we would not taste. If you consider yourself a Christian today, how are you receive this? It can be easy to tempted to think that we need to pay God back. It can be easy to be tempted that we don't deserve it. Go forth knowing and confidence, brothers and sisters, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that because of the Christmas message and the work of Christ, it has been done. No need for extra payment, no need for guilt. He's taken care of it all. You can go in confidence. You can go in confidence knowing that, hey, I don't deserve this gift. I know it's unprecedented. I know it's never been done before. It's crazy that a sinner like me could receive from a good and holy God the gift of Jesus and what he's done for me. And it's crazy to receive this gift of righteousness and rule with him and with justice and with righteousness and be with him forever and ever. I know it's unprecedented and undeserving, but I accept it because of what Jesus has done for me and because of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. You can go out in that identity this Christmas if you're a Christian. A non-Christian, if you're listening to me or here, man, this gift is available to you. And it's a no-strings-attached gift. I've received gifts before, and I might not think I deserve it and think I need to pay it back. And, you know, it's kind of find out that's a strings-attached gift. I got to do things on the horizon. This gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, is a no-strings-attached gift. You can receive it freely. Have cheer this Christmas, brothers and sisters, and have yourself a merry little Christmas. Why? Because the song tells us to? No. We can't live up to having a little merry little Christmas and having cheer on our own apart from Christ. No, we can do so because God did not withhold anything. But he gave his best, his very, very best, by sending his own son at Christmas time. Amen.